This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I want to kind of give you an update what's on the agenda for this week. First of all, today we go in at 5:30 in the Senate, and we'll confirm Howard Lutnick, and then we'll proceed with the procedural motion to move to executive order. What your executive order is when we start doing really nominees. Legislative is when we start doing bills. We have to move from legislative to executive. That's what we'll do today, and then we'll put Kash Patel on the clock, which means we could vote on him really as early as tomorrow if the Democrats want to play nice with us, which I doubt they will. More than likely, we'll be voting on him on Thursday morning. And then we'll get a few other noms done to this week, too. As we go through the process, I'll make sure I keep you guys updated.
Well, that's Senator Mark Wayne Mullen talking about the Senate schedule this week. And there's still some really key things that need to happen in order for Donald Trump to get his cabinet approved. And Howard Lutnick, I don't know. Is that going to be a scandalous one? Who knows? But of course, Kash Patel is the one major prize left for Donald Trump to get across the finish line that I think the Democrats are freaking out about the most. So we go to our friend who is there on the ground at Capitol Hill, the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent Ryan Schmelz. And he joins us once again here on the Annie Fry Show. Ryan, welcome back. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So we got a little bit of a breakdown there from Senator Mullen from Oklahoma about what the Senate is looking like, the schedule this week. How do you feel about the Howard Lutnick and Kash Patel confirmations? We going to see the thumbs up by the end of the week on both of those?
I think it's trending in that direction. I don't think Howard Lutnick's going to really have too much drama attached to it. He'll probably get every single Republican vote. Maybe a Democrat here or there. We'll see. I mean, you've seen some nominees get upwards of 20 Democrats on board. You've seen others get past the 60 to 70 vote threshold. So we'll see what Lutnick's able to do. I don't really expect this to be one that has a lot of drama attached to it. I think the extent of that drama is going to be a party line vote. Now, on the other hand, you've got Kash Patel. That one's going to be a little bit more interesting, but just the way that things have been trending, it just seems like Kash Patel has done what he needs to do to get across the finish line here. I think we're all once again going to be watching, though, to see what former Republican leader Mitch McConnell does in this situation. He's the only nominee to vote for more than two or against more than two of Donald Trump's nominees so far. He's voted for against three in total. So does he make it four with the Kash Patel nomination?
That's a real. I was going to ask you about Mitch McConnell, even in a broader sense here, about his health, about his presence, about his influence. What is the Mitch McConnell mystique right now in the Senate? Does he have influence on senators? Is he present in these conversations, or is he kind of just showing up and doing his Mitch McConnell thing?
It seems like he's kind of keeping to himself, that he's not trying to put any major pressure on anybody or try to sway them one way or the other. He's always been available for, counsel if they so choose to, but it doesn't seem like he's really swayed anybody away from any particular nominee. And that you see that as an example, because there's been multiple times where he's been the only person to vote against the nominee. You saw it happen with Tulsi Gabbard. You saw it happen with RFK Jr. And to think, too, that this is kind of setting up for a very interesting possible showdown down the road. You know, Doge wants to come in and make some changes to the Pentagon and kind of demand more accountability so the Pentagon, whoops, that was my mic, can finally get an audit. But here's the thing. Mitch McConnell is the appropriations chair when it comes to military spending. So he could be setting up for an interesting face-off between Doge, Donald Trump, and Mitch McConnell down the road.
You know, I just think it's kind of a shocking thing to observe in the last couple years. We've watched Mitch McConnell really rule the Senate with an iron fist. He had a very strong command over what was going to happen, what he was able to do going into the 2016 election when he pulled back that Barack Obama nominee for the Supreme Court was a very strong and bold move. And I think it had a lot to do with getting Donald Trump the opportunity to win that nomination in the presidency. And then you go to where he steps down from leadership, but he remains in the Senate. We know that his health is a challenge for him as well. I'm curious, does he explain a lot of his votes the way he's going, or the things that he's doing when it's a departure from what the majority of the Republicans are doing there in the Senate? Does he talk?
He explains it through statements, but it's very rare that he does any type of media gaggle or media appearance. And it's gotten, I think, a lot less off frequent now that he's facing these health issues, too. You know, that's kind of one thing we're getting used to with John Thune, is that he is a little bit more of an open book compared to what McConnell was. McConnell's extent of talking to the press was normally the weekly press conference they would have, and he'd probably take, you know, three questions on a given day. So that was if we were lucky. There were a couple times when he took a little bit more here and there, but McConnell really wasn't a very vocal figure, maybe vocal behind the scenes, but not somebody who ate up a lot of attention. And so now that he's not in this position of leadership, it's even more of a quiet front on his end. But you do see him put out statements, and he's put out some pretty harsh statements whenever he's voted no against one of President Trump's nominees. Go back to Tulsi Gabbard. You look at Pete Hegseth, and then, of course, you look at RFK Jr. There were some pretty intense statements that he put out, but he's not saying them vocally. He's just doing them on paper.
So we're speaking with Ryan Schmelz. He's in Capitol Hill right now. The cabinet, it looks like it's imminent. The question will be, you know, is it a short amount of time? Do they put up the fight they can, even though at the end it'll probably still result in those confirmations of Donald Trump's nominees? The other huge thing that Americans are watching closely, and we know that the president is urging consistently, is the passage of that big, beautiful bill, maybe two bills. What's the process right now on getting the tax cuts that made permanent in order to get the security funding, all of the things that need to be done right now on the start in the House, working with the Senate? Where's that bill at right now?
So we could see some movement from the Senate this week, but their bill is way different in the fact that it does have the same amount of money for border security, national security, as well as energy policy. The pay-fors are relatively similar, where they're going to require respective committees to go find the cuts to offset the any additional spending that's in there. But what's interesting is that the Senate version does not include tax law. On the other hand, the House version does include tax law, so it's vastly more complex than what the Senate one looks like. So on the House side, you've got $4.5 trillion in there for taxes, renewing the Trump taxes, adding no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, the SALT tax deduction, which is big for a lot of blue state Republicans. But It also requires them to have $2 trillion worth of spending cuts. 1.5 is the low number, and then they want to get up to $2 trillion as the goal. But the thing is, if they're not able to find $2 trillion in cuts, then they have to go take provisions away from the tax bill and then use those to offset the difference in savings. So that might set up for a little bit of an issue down the road if they're able to get it across the finish line. But you're already seeing some New York and California, New Jersey Republicans come out and say that they're concerned that there won't be enough SALT deductions involved in this. And then you also have some Republicans putting out warning signs saying that they might vote against this because they're concerned that this could lead to cuts in benefits for people who need it, like Medicaid and Medicare. Donald Trump has been pretty adamant that that's not going to happen. but it's not set in stone, at least according to some of these folks. So I think there's a little bit of a warning sign being flirted with by a number of maybe more moderate leaning Republicans.
Ryan, this is Ryan, and it's a little early in the process, but how long will this budget last? Are they working on something that will last a year? Is it longer than that? You know, when do they come back and have to do this again?
Right. So this is a budget reconciliation. So this is essentially the reconciliation process is a way for them to skirt the 60 vote threshold in the Senate, get something across that only requires 50 votes. This wouldn't really apply to funding the government in its entirety long term. That process is still being worked out. Right now, you have leadership in Republican and Democrat circles meeting behind closed doors, trying to hash out a top line number that would likely fund the government probably through September is what we're looking at there. But you've got this little back and forth going on where Leader Jeffries, the top Democrat in the House, is accusing Republicans of walking away from negotiations and wanting to go it alone. But then you see some other Republicans like Susan Collins pushing back on that and saying, no, he's misinformed. We actually just met last night. So from what it sounds like, those talks are still ongoing. They haven't reached a top line number. But an interesting aspect of this is that you have a Republican like Warren Davidson from Ohio who came out of the weekly GOP conference meeting last week and said, we're not even talking about the November 14th deadline. So that's kind of a little bit of a concern for some people in this building that this is just not getting the attention that it needs.
Ryan Schmell speaking with us right now from Capitol Hill. I'm curious about the reactions, whatever you're picking up there in the hallways about the efforts of DOGE and what they've been able to cut. We found how many people are getting payments, it seems, on Social Security or whatever that are 150 years old, 4.7, is it trillion? I get the M's, the B's, and the T's mixed up, of payments that aren't traceable. I mean, there are so many massive questions that I feel like we always have to be prepared for there to be a logical explanation that just hasn't been pinned down yet. But for the people who are actually overseeing DOGE and overseeing Elon Musk in the Congress there, what are you hearing from people regarding the efforts and the results that they're putting up so far?
Well, Republicans think this is a winning issue. They think that waste, fraud, and abuse is something that they should have been focused on back during the first Trump administration. So they're trying to make up for lost time in many ways. So I think Republicans are pretty unified about this, but I think there is this concern about, is DOGE going to get into benefits? Is that going to become an issue? And then also DOGE is starting to focus on the Pentagon. And there's been at least one Republican who said, be a little mindful when you go to the Pentagon because we don't want to do anything that might make us less safe or our military less strong. But at the same time, when you consistently fail audits every single year, I think that there is a push by Republicans to start rooting out waste that they can possibly find in the Pentagon. And that's an issue they might get some Democrats on board with, especially progressive Democrats. But I think there might be a little bit of a question going on about the legality of what DOGE is doing, because a lot of it's governed through executive order. I think there is a thought amongst Republicans that they do need to start codifying some of this into law and passing it as legislation, so that it holds up better legally with the Supreme Court, because that's the argument that Democrats are really hitting on. The one thing they've kind of focused on recently with their messaging is going after this firing of inspector generals, where they've pointed out that there has been millions and billions of dollars that the IGs have uncovered over the years that was waste, fraud, and abuse, and is actually an example of waste, fraud, and abuse. And Democrats are arguing that because Donald Trump fired a lot of these IGs, it's going to make it harder to root out waste, fraud, and abuse, and also hold the administration accountable.
Well, Ryan, you gave us the best info. We appreciate you so much for coming to us directly from Capitol Hill, and we look forward to having you back again soon and getting the information directly from the guy who's there talking to the people on Capitol Hill. It's really, really wonderful to have you, Ryan. Thanks for being here with us again.
It's wonderful to be on. Thank you so much, Annie.
Take care. Ryan Schmell is Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Our friend there on the ground talking to the people. And it's great to get. You see a lot of stuff on X, you know. I certainly see a lot of stuff from Elon Musk. I mean, if you want to go straight to the source, you can always know what he's thinking about things. And then, of course, you see stuff that people are putting out there on social media. But you know, the Mitch McConnell thing to me is maybe a little palace intrigue, but the man is certainly not well. And I mean, he's aged. And he, as we have been talking about lately, he, you know, he dealt with polio at a young age. He's been publicly unwell multiple times, and now he just, it's to me, it's like somebody who's, some people are going to go crazy when I say this, that he served the Republican Party so well, and then at the end, it's just like it turns into this bitterness and this self-righteousness thing that it's like you're ruining the whole thing.
Yeah.
John McCain.
It's a strange legacy.
Yeah. Why? Like, what is it? What is it when you spend that much time in government that at the end you just veer so far away from? I just got to think there's some ego thing to it that's like, I just know better. I've been here long enough. I just know what you don't know. And maybe you don't care as much about the politics of it. So you're kind of just putting away the things that you did to smooth stuff over. I know that Mitch McConnell is persona non grata in most Republican circles right now. I don't think that seat's going to go to a Democrat. But I didn't think Sessions' seat would go to a Democrat either in Alabama. Stop running crap candidates, people. Do you remember that campaign? Yeah. How, like, it was like, what's the stupidest thing we could do? All right, great idea. Let's go do that. If Mitch McConnell, he's already said he's not running again, correct? He said he was stepping down from leadership at the time he made the announcement, and then he said that this would be his final term. So he's not gonna run again. There's no way he could run again. Although I assume that if he did run again, he'd probably win.
I see conflicting reports about that some reporters push back and go, oh, well, actually, he hasn't said for sure that he said he's out of leadership.
That's basically like it's probably people on the left. And they're like, I think he crossed his fingers behind his back.
it could be.
It was almost a day.
You know, he's taken a lot of heat, too, for all of his support for spending on Ukraine. And I don't know if that is where, yeah, exactly. But I don't know if that's where he kind of said, well, I'm no longer part of MAGA or whatever.
Thing,
I don't know.
The thing about Mitch McConnell, I think the overarching thing that kind of envelops exactly what you're talking about is it just seems like Mitch McConnell thinks Mitch McConnell knows best, regardless of anything. If the people are saying one thing and he disagrees, he's 100% going with Mitch McConnell every time.
Yeah.
And that doesn't.
And sometimes that's been great.
Sometimes.
And other times it's been foolish.
If you're talking about senatorial procedure things, because he was a master at understanding how to utilize the rules and the system to his own benefit. Just like the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi is an expert at this too. And I think a lot of us look at Republicans and say, take notes and do the thing. It's a difficult road to navigate because you hate it when the Democrats do it, and you want the Republicans to do it when they have the chance to. But there's this unfortunate thing in the middle called principle, and you have to ask yourself where you stand on those things. And sometimes I think Mitch McConnell was willing to do the very, very publicly unpopular thing where the Democrats could throw it all at him, but he knew procedurally. And I go back to the Merrick Garland. Good God, that man could have been on the Supreme Court. He could have been on the Supreme Court. And Mitch McConnell is the one who kept that from happening. And because people are like, do I want Hillary Clinton to pick the Supreme Court nominee or do I want Donald Trump to pick the Supreme Court nominee? They thought that, you know, I don't know. Donald Trump could have picked Hulk Hogan to be a Supreme Court nominee as far as everyone was concerned in 2016. But you knew what you got with Hillary and everybody was like, don't want that. So they gave Donald Trump a chance. And I think you could go back and listen to the tapes in 2016. I didn't like Donald Trump for the obvious reasons why people didn't like him. In the field of Republicans, he was maybe close to my last pick.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fruit Ninja Kasich was my last pick. But I was so wrong about it. And I'm going to say it. I think God said, all right, everybody sit down. You're going to watch this. And we learned.
We're still watching it.
Yes. And Mitch McConnell helped set all of this in motion, which is just kind of ironic because I think Mitch McConnell hates Donald Trump. So.
I know, but his legacy on the Supreme Court, because it's not just Merrick Garland, it's not just Gorsuch. Mm-hmm. It's also the other end of that term with Amy Coney Barrett,
mm-hmm.
because yeah. he said yes to that.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to do Wiggins America. It's the Tuesday roundup because it's not Monday, and that's... And is this an easy segment for you to do, this installation?
I wouldn't say it's... No, I'd actually say that there's more that's put into this one than of the others.
I want to acknowledge your efforts.
Thank you very much.
Tuesday Roundup and Wiggins America next. Don't go away.